On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. I know it's going to be a good week. We got our fabulous producer, Mr. Rob Center, there, ready for the, I guess, the four-day shortened week. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom, so we always appreciate his hard help. Back in the studios with us, Melanie Sims is here. I used to say Melanie Sims of Sunbury. Where are you living now?
Sealands Grove.
Oh, you're in Sealands Grove.
Yeah.
Okay, well, welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming up. And I call you a noted Valley Poet Laureate. And I say that because you were Pennsylvania's Poet Laureate.
For Perry County some time ago, yeah. But I carry that with me. Once you're a Poet Laureate, you can't take it out of you.
Okay, so, well, it's a title. It's like president, you know. Only better. So, okay, so Poet Laureate of Perry County, right. Author, working on science fiction.
Yes, I've taken up science fiction. One of my first stories that was published in the York Dispatch when I was, gosh, 10 years old was a short story, and it was called UFO Story. And I've always been a huge science fiction buff and also interested in fantasy, and that's a part of my realm, I guess, that you're not familiar with. You're used to hearing about me writing poems, you know, but I've started picking up science fiction, and actually I'm studying fiction and poetry at Wilkes University, my graduate work, and my graduate thesis will be a science fiction book.
Is there any, when we read your poems, mm-hmm. like your Sunbury poem, or you have mm-hmm. one about Northumberland Cemetery, mm-hmm. Is there a place reference that is real in your science fiction?
My science fiction always starts from my environment. I like to write about my environment and where I'm living and my place. And so you'll notice a lot of my fiction will also include the local areas. And a lot of authors up at Wilkes are like that, I've noticed. They write about Pennsylvania, the areas that they're familiar with, because that's where we are. You know, that's the place we're at.
Scholar, a student at Wilkes again?
Graduate student, yeah.
Okay.
Wilkes, yeah.
And part of your graduate classes is to write the science fiction.
Right, yeah. I've let my advisor know that I want to pursue a fiction book. And so I still have to, we still have to basically, you know, get it approved through, a mentor. You know, we have to pitch it. It's called speed dating at Wilkes University. But that's what I'm going to be pitching. And I think it's going to be a pretty good pitch, because I've already gotten a quarter of it done, and I have it in my mind, and I've picked up things through the fiction courses. You know, I was studying with Taylor Pilates up there with fiction, and I'm pretty positive about it. And if nothing else comes of it, I'll certainly, do it on my own, but I have a pretty good hunch it'll be accepted. Yeah.
Where did you learn poetry?
My mother, and my uncle, my grandmother. I mean, we're all very avid writers.
So now we're back in Sunbury learning mm-hmm. to write poetry?
I'm living in Sealings Grove, but
did you learn?
My dad was in the Navy, so we traveled a lot as a kid, and my mother was she was very educated and very smart, and so it was kind of like having your own personal tutor, when it came to poetry. So and always picked up along the way also mentors and people's work that I admired, or I'd hire mentors, and I just kind of grabbed it along the way.
And then went to Bloomsburg University.
I got my undergraduate work at Bloomsburg. Yeah, Jerry Wimple. He's I will die being fond of that man. He was a wonderful instructor, and just a good human. So yeah, and he has a really wonderful approach to teaching fiction. It's obviously there's pedagogy involved, but he just has this sort of way of this acceptance of you. When you walk in, you just kind of feel it is safe, and that's the kind of environment that you really need to draw for a writer.
All right. And you have published how many books now?
I've been anthologized 3 times, and this is my 3rd book coming out. I have 2 more that's on the way. I've been very, very active writing.
and appearing all over the place.
Yes. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of appearances. I love radio. You know me. And I especially love radio. TV, I'm a little anxious about. You know, I never feel like I look just right for television. But I love to be on radio. It's comfortable. And it's, I don't know, I think it's a nicer rapport, a warmer rapport, you know.
You've been, of course, this is probably your third or fourth visit to WKOK.
Yeah, and I've been on WVIA with, you know, with Mindy Kronk, CFRO, the World Poetry Cafe, which is an international show, and I've been on the Tory Gates Show, which is Brown Posey Press, which is our one of the subsidiaries of Sunbury Press, which is who published my book. I've been on ABC 27 with Amy Kim, Author Spotlight, and with you, and I'm still branching out. I have some other opportunities coming up.
So. Well, you named a good list there, and then me, so thank you.
Thank you.
Those are my peers. I'm in good company. And you have an event coming up. You're going to be reading some poetry at the Priestley Library.
That's right. Yeah, it's from June 4th, starting at 7 o'clock. And it's also an open mic. I'm going to be reading with Monica Prince, lovely, talented woman. You'll notice the difference. She's more of what you would call a performance poet. So from me, you'll get more of the traditional, you know, romantic style of poetry. And for Monica, you'll get up out of your seat. You know, she's very, very much of a performance poet.
What did you bring to read today?
I brought new poems, actually, some of them that were in process at Wilkes University. And actually, I have a new friend, Molly Peacock, poet Molly Peacock, who's I've taken, taking time with, who's editing work for me now and also mentoring me. So this is exciting, you know, but this one poem is called Bouquets and Walmart Wreaths. And I wanted to share this specifically because it was inspired out of Northumberland, Pennsylvania, when I went to the Joseph Priestley House and walked over to the grave.
Bouquets?
And like Walmart wreaths.
Walmart wreaths, mm-hmm. Like the wreaths.
That's right, like
Christmas
wreaths, you know,
or
like,
something.
You know, you go to Walmart and you see these wreaths you put on the graveyard, you know. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, please.
Yeah,
this
happy
is
to share it.
Inspired by the Priestley grave?
Is that what it is? I just know I went to go visit Joseph Priestley's grave, which is across the street, I think, almost, or not too far off from the Priestley House. And I was there and I just had this feeling. I wanted to connect. You know, I'd seen the house and I had a sense of where the man lived. And I wanted to feel closer. And I thought, well, can I go over? Where's the grave? And I was so surprised that it was that he was buried here. And so I went over to take some flowers to the grave and I sat there and I just kind of tried to just sense who he was, you know. And so this is about a woman that visits the graves, not Joseph Priestley, though I do have another poem in the works about that specific experience, but this definitely was a shoot off, you know, kind of from that experience.
So if you're at the Priestley grave, you're at the what's known as the Riverview Cemetery.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put that down.
Okay.
So bouquets and Walmart wreaths. Bones stretch out across the graves of Northumberland, Pennsylvania, crowned by stones, by words, pronouncing their lives as memorable. A dog whimpers at a freshly turned grave. Bouquets and Walmart wreaths adorn their markers, while dates mark their passage of time. Lilies and roses fragrant the air where souls lay quiet beneath weeping willows. But I hear ghosts each Sunday walking, taking daffodils or lilies to unmarked graves, enjoying conversations with outcasts and suicides. Their nameless markers blink back in recognition. As I walk, I think of my own death and of how they might welcome me more kindly if I remember them here. That in my own passing, they might greet me, and like old friends reunited, we will dance across our graves, laugh, and remember.
Wow, so in the end, we'll be there dancing too?
The idea is building community with the dead, mm-hmm. and that connection we can still have of the memory of what was there. And maybe it's even a little ESP-ish, you know, we're like connecting with the past. It's also about connecting with the past. And again, that's sort of like that Sunbury, that poem I wrote about the Susquehanna River, mm-hmm. that sense of connecting with history, connecting with the soul of the past in some way, you know.
Well, and you talked about you could go down to the bank of the river 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and the same thing was there, just water flowing by.
Yeah, but different people, obviously, different type of cultures, perhaps, and Indians, maybe.
Right. So you have a reading coming up June 4th, mm-hmm. Priestley Library, mm-hmm. 7 p.m. in the backyard or
yeah.
inside? Or?
It'll be outdoor in the garden, and we're going to have food, and if it rains, don't worry, because we're going to bring it all in. We're going to have coffee and bottled waters and desserts. And it's going to be a poetry party. I'm definitely a poetry party.
All right, at the Priestley Library, June 4th at 7 p.m. There's an open mic component, so if somebody happens to be
bring your poems.
A poet. How can I get more information about Melanie Sims?
Well, you can actually go onto my Amazon author page. Just go onto Amazon.com and Google Melanie Sims, and you'll pull up all my books. You'll pull up actually a lot of different fun videos, book things I've been working on, projects. Just head on there on my website, poetmelaniesims.com. I think I haven't looked at it in a while, but you can find that. Or through Facebook. Definitely look me up on Facebook. That's the best way to reach me if you ever want to talk to me.
S-I-M-M-S.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie
Thank
Sims.
You.
All right. Well, we're going to come back here shortly with more of our interview. We'll go over the schedule again. I'm going to ask you to teach me to write some poetry.
No.
That, most of the guests don't say no around here to me, but you just did. All right. We'll talk about the... I'll have you read another poem,
okay.
too, when you come back. And you also talked about visiting the Joseph Priestley grave. It sounds like you were moved there.
Very moved.
So who is Joseph Priestley to you? I think that's a satisfactory question. We'll talk about that in our next segment at 7:40. Poet Melanie Sims is with us.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
60 degrees right now. The normal slowdowns at the normal places in the valley, with this long slowdown getting into Northumberland if you're on Front Street in Sunbury. So do be aware of that. In the studio with us now, Melanie Sims is here, a noted valley local poet laureate, a grad school student studying at Wilkes University, science fiction author and scholar. We're talking about her latest book, Life Signs and Fortune Cookies, from Sunbury Press. So I can buy that at Amazon.
Yes, you can.
Or Sunbury
Press.
Just order
from any bookstore. Just pop on in.
Do they have it up in Lewisburg yet?
Oh, yeah. They'll have it. Just call and ask them, and they'll order it for you.
Make sure they get you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to schedule for a reading up there. That seems to help local authors to get their books moving.
Absolutely.
Get up to Barnes & Noble. And you're a poet, and I just think that's a fabulous thing, and I've always been fascinated by your work and your poetry. In our last segment, you read a poem that was inspired by Joseph Priestley and your visit to his grave, which is up in the Riverview Cemetery in Northumberland. Any connection to the fact that you're going to the Priestley Library next week?
I wouldn't say that was an actual connection, though. What I will say is that the library helped me tremendously for setting my book up and getting it formatted before submission and it got published. So, I'm always grateful to the libraries, the Rudy Galnett and Priestley Forsyth, and the libraries are just so important, and we can't live without them, not writers.
Well, and you nurture, you see young people at the libraries, and you're like, oh my gosh, capture them and make sure that they just keep on reading and working and creating.
Yes, absolutely. So.
Right, so what was it about the life or times of Joseph Priestley that caught your attention?
Well, I think part of it was that my grandfather was a doctor, and he was an anesthesiologist and pulmonologist. He back in the day when you could have more than one, one practice, he was very educated. He was a professor of medicine at Yale, and he was also a brigadier general. He did a lot of work in medicine for the Army. And so first off, I had that connection, that family connection, and I didn't get to know my grandfather as much as I would have liked, so I find myself sort of revisiting medicine, revisiting themes of medicine or connecting with doctors, trying to get some connection to my own family. But my grandfather was very creative. He helped in something with the development of anesthesia, and I can't remember the type of anesthesia it was, but he helped with, like, you know, creating the monitoring of it, the how it was measured. And again, you'll find if you look up Dr. Lewis Jennings Hampton in a lot of the medical journals, you'll find out about Grandpa. But for Priestley, I just think it had more to do with just the excitement. He was so creative. He was so innovative. And as we were discussing earlier off air, you know, all the things that he accomplished and his, he had been a Unitarian and he was a bit of a revolutionary, you know, he was just a spirit that inspired me. And I've always loved going over to the Priestley house because it's just, I like history. And I don't know, just something about medicine that interests me. It actually inspired a whole new book that's on its way over now. It's Journeys Through the Asculpia, which is a collection of poems about medicine that I started. So I have a lot to thank, you know.
And so you're compiling this book now? You're doing this?
Yeah, it is a book that's in process, and I'll have it edited. And actually, I have a poem that was inspired by a medical visit at Geisinger, one of the doctors there I connected with. I don't know, something. It was some people you connect with spiritually or emotionally more than others, and it doesn't mean that other doctors aren't brilliant, but something in connections with people can inspire poems. And, you know, also, you know, I've reached out to some other people at, like, Geisinger, Sealings Grove, Dr. Seeley and Dr. Servano, and these guys are wonderful doctors, but they're also very, very knowledgeable, and, you know, I sometimes send them these silly little questions, and they'll respond for me that maybe, you know, might be silly for other people, but...
Like what?
Well, you know, for example, like, Dr. Seeley, I'm writing a poem about the knees, you know, and the knee reflexes. So, like, he gives me he'll tell me about the plexor and the different aspects of what it does and the numbering systems. So, like, because I want to add that in my poem. And Dr. Servano, I'm always asking him questions about ethics, about medical ethics and things that you might go through emotionally when you're a doctor. Because I'm trying to really understand the insights in the mind of a doctor to help me with my poems.
Melanie Sims grew up at a number of locations, Navy?
My father was in the Navy, yeah, okay. For about 6 years.
All right, and so you have a number of locations you have lived. Yeah. Sunbury's one of them, Sealands Grove
right.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
You were a student at Bloomsburg University, got mm-hmm. your undergraduate degree, and your grad school is now at Wilkes. You're authoring a science fiction book as mm-hmm. part
Working
of your graduate
sci-fi.
Work. Life Science and Fortune Cookies is out.
Right.
So we can buy
it's
that.
On the pages, on the shelves.
And you'll be reading some of that at the Priestley Library June 4th at mm-hmm. 7 p.m. There's an open mic there, and folks can go there and they can read or just listen. You've spent a lot of time studying and learning. Can you teach? Do you have an interest in teaching?
Yeah, I have thought about, I think that I would like to teach people that are going through difficult times. Like, I thought about maybe doing some volunteer work in prisons or the YMCA, where people have a harder time getting access, because that's where I feel like I can... I don't know. I think for many of us, you know, where we can make an impact. Like, teaching at Yale isn't something, for example, that would really interest me, only because they have their opportunities. And, you know, that doesn't mean I couldn't do something there, but I would rather work where I feel there's a greater need. You know, yeah, so maybe younger people, you know.
Okay, could you teach me to write poetry?
You know, I could teach you some of the basics, maybe, but I think it's more about the experience of it, not just, like, teaching it. It's being in a class setting and giving someone the experience of poetry, and you do that by reading poems to them, you know, getting them experience with it, listening to poems, bringing artists in. And I think a lot of us can learn simply just by, you know, hearing people and reading. And then, of course, you have to have a desire for it. So teach poems. If you have the desire for it, I could sit down with you and just tell you to write. And then you, through the editing process, you can grow through that.
So I'll go down by the river. river.
I'll go jump by the river.
And that inspires you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to read today? We've heard your Northumberland mm-hmm. poem inspired by the Riverview Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
You read that last time.
Yeah.
You've read your river poem here, your Sunbury poem. Mm-hmm. What are you going to read next for us?
Well, you know, I have one about medicine, and it's called Sutures. It's actually been aired on a lot of different radio programs at this point, so I don't know if that's considered published now or not. I don't know, but it's called Sutures, and it was written for Dr. Wazir at Geisinger Oral Surgery, and it was just a poem.
And you were sick. This was one
very
of your doctors.
Very sick. Yeah, I just nearly died, and I had been misdiagnosed in two other ERs improperly, and I had gone up to Geisinger, and boy, they knew right away what was going on. I mean, they did testing, obviously, but you could tell. And I like Geisinger because you get students coming in, and they're there that are serious about learning, and so you've got more than one person coming to look at you. I had basically like 12 people in my room observing me, but they had me in surgery like the next day, and I was terrified. And you know, I came out of that experience, you know, needing faith at first, and so scared, really, really more scared than I probably ever been, and then coming out and like, wow, that was it. I had this whole big to-do in my head, and I mean, don't get me wrong, surgery can be dangerous. You know, there's always a risk in any surgery, but for some reason, I didn't even have nausea. I had such a positive experience in that hospital, and the doctors were, and the interns, and the nurses, and the assistants, they were just amazing, and I couldn't have gotten through it without them. So I wrote this poem for one of the doctors. You know, obviously, I have other things that'll be for other people, but this was one of my favorites that came out, and it's called Sutures, and it's for Dr. Wazir at Geisinger Oral Surgery. I opened my neck, bared the wounds of my life as your scissors cut me free. It was a necessary surgery, yet as you snipped stitch by stitch, I imagined switchblades and murderers, mafia and threats from beasts of the night hovering at my bedside. I even feared you might be one of those rogue doctors killing patients on rounds. A Bible lay at the bottom of my bed, trying to remind me of a long-lost God. But through your kindness, I found salvation. You rescued me, healed me with your modern amulets and medical wisdoms, sent the demons back to Hades, and brought me to the light like a priest on Sunday morning, inviting me to drink from the wine of life.
And you got better, sounds like.
Thank God.
And we can find that poem in Life Signs?
No, this one is coming up in a new book, Journeys Through the Asculpia, which is a collection of poems about medicine
okay, so
that I'm working
that.
On right now.
Oh,
yeah.
That's in that book. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do have one poem I can share that is in the book if you
have
time.
Yeah, we have time for one more.
All right. I'll read it real quick. And this one is called The Snowman, and it's in the book. We met in winter. I should have realized the foreboding, seeing the long, cold stretches of snow between us. But you gave me a snowflake shaped like a rose, and I gave you my coat and my hat. But before I could take your hand and walk with you, the snow engulfed your face like angry white bees, and I could no longer hold you. I made angels in the bitter white, seeking holy miracles, but no angels appeared to save us, and the barren tree seemed to sway with disdain. When the storm passed and the sun rose, distant but gleaming, I dug furiously, hopeful the sun's return had saved you, not hearing the wind's whisper of your early departure. You were gone, the only remains a coat and a scarf and the memory of my snowman.
I'm not sure which I like more, your voice reading anything or your good poems.
It's, oh, thank you.
It's all fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Melanie Sims, Valley. I'm going to call you a Valley native, though you've been around the world with your father in the Navy, and grad school student at Wilkes Living in Sealands Grove, now coming at the Priestley Library June 4th mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. with an open mic there.
And lots of good food.
Oh, yeah, and there'll be good refreshments there, too. So. thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on. I'm always happy to see and talk to you.
Melanie Sims, you can find them. Probably a great clearinghouse is her Facebook presence.
Yes,
would be a good
please
place
find me on Facebook
to start up.